Let's go over to the world of sports.
So we're gonna talk about the World Series or something, right? Or
I saw Moneyball.
Oh yeah, that was a good movie. All right. I actually haven't seen it.
Moneyball, starring Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill. Moneyball is based on a book that talked about Brad Pitt plays Billy Bean, and the book talked about how these guys use sabermetrics, which is basically statistical analysis, to think about who you hire and fire on a baseball team and how you put together a winning team for less money. And so the long story short is, over the last 10 years, what general managers have looked for in assembling a team has changed. But what it didn't necessarily result in is, for a while, because the poorer teams were ahead of the curve on this, they were winning over the richer teams.
Right.
But it swings back.
So now it's sort of like normalized.
Well, yeah, or it is normalizing, I guess. But anyway, the movie Moneyball, I would say overall, probably the best movie I have seen that has no plot.
Well, that's quite a caveat. How about, can you back off the no plot part?
Then, and compare it to movies with plots?
Yeah.
It was better than quite a few of them.
Okay, so I mean, it was better than most movies.
Well, no, I mean, I don't want to go there, but it was a pretty good movie. The last few movies I've seen: Moneyball, Captain America, Bridesmaids, Our Idiot Brother. I think those are the last four movies I've seen. I would say that Moneyball was definitely better than Captain America. And it was, I don't know, I put Bridesmaids and Our Idiot Brother sort of close to each other.
It's almost like apples and oranges, right?
Yeah, well, no, to compare Moneyball to them?
Yeah.
Yeah, those two are quite similar in a way, though I would say Bridesmaids was a little better pulled off. And Moneyball is, yeah, you're right, it's a totally different kind of movie, because it doesn't have a plot.
Well, I mean, can you name, like, three movies without a plot?
Fahrenheit 9/11.
But those documentaries.
Bowling,
right?
For Columbine.
So, okay, you're like talking about documentaries. So when you're talking about you're comparing a documentary to a dramatized documentary.
Sort of. Actually, that's almost what it is. But here's the thing, like,
it's like America's Most Wanted.
A lot of documentaries do actually have plots, and they follow stories.
Well, narrative, yeah, right.
Yeah, there's a story going on there. I just thought it was. Actually, I found it a pretty good movie, and I was
pleased. Good. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I was very pleased with it. But afterwards, I was sort of like, that was really interesting, because there was not a significant plot arc. Like, there was elements of inter-human conflict. Which
wasn't
is
it the narrative of the season?
Not really, because you don't see a lot of... I mean, baseball is central, but it's not like you're watching baseball throughout the movie. There's a few baseball scenes. And it's about how the character that Brad Pitt plays sort of deals with these people around him who don't see what he's going for.
Yeah. Did you see The Social Network?
No. Okay. Was that?
I mean, unfortunately, I've seen it and you haven't. I haven't seen Moneyball and you have. But it was written by Aaron Sorkin, wasn't it? Moneyball?
The book or the movie?
The screenplay.
I don't, maybe.
This would be much better if I knew. Let's just say it was.
And that's all from the world of sports. Oh, but actually, what I wanted to talk about with Moneyball was that the sort of what, at least the tagline that I heard, not so much with the movie, but with the books, is using the tools of economics in a field outside of economics. And I hear that a lot from, like, kind of the modern field of economics and sort of poppy looks on economics, like
Freakonomics. If you look to your right.
Have you read this?
I have read this.
Okay, so it's using the tools of economics. But I think that's kind of the field of economics claiming a little more than it owns. Like, it's really using statistics.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like... what does economics do but look at a bunch of numbers and extract meaning from them, I guess.
Right. Or plot, you know, try and come up with
tendencies and models that might models. Predict what happened. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's what you could say a lot of statistics is.
But that, but you use that in all sciences.
Right.
You know, you come up with growth models in plant science and, and that sort of stuff.
It might be that, I really don't know anything about Billy Beane, but did he have a background in economics or something like that?
No, he actually, the movie sort of goes into it. He didn't go to college. He was offered a full ride at Stanford, but he went into major leagues.
Okay.
But the thing was there's sort of a plot, but it's like they flash back to young Billy Beane and he is touted as this great prospect because he's what all the scouts were always looking for. This guy who can do it all in baseball. But it didn't pan out.
And so he realized that it's more than just having those criteria.
Yeah. Yeah. Or that those criteria that scouts were traditionally looking for weren't the criteria that actually made a good baseball player.
Yeah, I will say this about, I mean, I have read it, Freakonomics, just recently. Actually, one of our treasured listeners lent it to me.
Oh, nice.
So, like, shout out to our treasured listener.
Treasure.
But I think
I got spent in Iraq.
I think what it seemed like he was making a point was economists might focus on people's actually motivations for doing things. You know, like, it's very, like, supply and demand, right? Mm-hmm. It's very odd that prices should go up, but why should they go up? Because people are motivated to buy things. It's just, and people would sort of, like, do things for their own interest, mm-hmm. which is, it's an odd sort of, I feel like that's why it's called a disciplinary science. I took a couple of economics classes in college, and I remember, I think it was Einstein who said it or something, that economics is a dismal science.
Hmm.
I think he said that. There's a lot of factual inaccuracies in this podcast.
But that's the regular search. We're searching for truth, not facts.
Somebody said it, but it's like because you are boiling everything down to, like, it's why communism has a hard time catching on or at least intuitively working for people. Why would I do this? What is my motivation to work harder for the common good? That's not motivation. I need something for me, right? And The scouts are motivated to get somebody of this particular thing, you know, XYZ talents, and it's like maybe that's not what drives baseball to be good. You know, I mean, I think I'm really going out on an edge here, but I think the reason I'm doing that is I think economics is not necessarily statistics, but it sort of applies statistics and also a little bit of psychology. And I think somewhere there's a little creative energy to sort of like find how you can make both those things work to explain what you're looking for. And maybe in that sense, you know, if I had seen this movie, my point might be even more stronger. But in Moneyball, he was able to sort of like find this, what actually makes a team win, you know? And it's not, this model doesn't work anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that exactly comes up in the movie. It's like, what makes a team win? And it's like, well, you get guys on base.
Right.
And then like, oh, you know, zing. And they kind of oversimplified, I think, for the viewing audience, you know, and that sort of thing. But it was overall, I gave Moneyball a thumbs up, and Freakonomics, I also give that a thumbs up.
You read it though?
I read it, yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I read it. I guess I'll go, you know, for the sake of rehashing topics that I've railed on before.
Mm-hmm.
Freakonomics reminds me of books written by Malcolm Gladwell.
Mm.
Who, if you recall...
Yeah, the Tipping Point guy.
The Tipping Point guy, but also, if you remember, the last time I got angry... Well, probably not the last time, but I got angry about the basketball team. The little kids' basketball team that played full court press.
Oh, yeah.
So Malcolm Gladwell writes all these, like, really interesting articles and points out really interesting phenomenon in society as they did in Freakonomics. One thing I will give Freakonomics credit a little bit was there's a little more, like, sort of synthesis beyond the analysis.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of like, look at this interesting thing. Would you have ever expected it? And then that's where Malcolm Gladwell will stop.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, I think these guys will go a little further and say, well, okay, now that you know this, don't worry about this. Or, like, don't waste your time spending all your time making this better when that doesn't make a difference. There's a little bit of that. But it's also a little bit of, like, yeah, everything you thought, all your intuitions and all the sort of, like, ideas you had about how society work, they don't work. That's not what it is. sucks. You know, your whole world's been turned upside down. What's for dinner? You know, it's just like, how do I deal with this? How do I process that my whole world's been turned upside down? How do I process that? I'm trying to think of some examples from the book. Like, for example, I think there's a chapter about why crack dealers or drug dealers live with their mothers. Right. It's like, well, obviously, it's because they're drug dealers, so they make money. It's like, well, no, they're not, because they don't make money. Only 1% of them make money. But because the payoff is so big psychologically, they're motivated to do that. And that kind of makes you understand, well, whatever, you know. And like, and then it talks about crime and how, like, there's a big drop in, like, the whatever it was, like the 90s, and how it had to do with, well, that was exactly, you know, whatever it was, 18, 20 years after Roe versus Wade was passed. Mm-hmm. It's like, so you're telling me because all these abortions are now legal that crime lowered? It's like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, they listed all these 10 things that people commonly think reasons why crime went down. It's like, more police, more funding, smarter cops, more this, more that. It's like, all those make sense, and I totally support them, but not really what helped it.
Right.
You know, and it's like, oh, well, I don't know anything anymore.
The thing, I read this a couple years ago, and that one, like, I thought he did a good job of proving that the things like more police, more cops, or those are the same thing, you know, more patrols, whatever, didn't necessarily prove it. But I didn't think he did a great job of showing that the Roe versus Wade decision also was, in fact, the cause. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Go too far into it,
right?
But I, so I just try, you know, like, okay, fine, you know. I read it, and it's like, that's very interesting, you know. My whole world's upside down, and I moved on, I guess.
Oh, so your whole world wasn't upside down then?
No, it is. I mean, it's just that I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what the okay now. If I was the mayor of a city and there was crime, I would have no idea what to do. You know, how do we lower crime? We could go back in time and like encourage people to have abortions. Or I don't know what to do, you know?
We need to start a research and development program for time machines.
Time abortions.
Get an intern on it.
That's two things.
Look, we just need to put a few interns on this now. Even if it takes them 100 years to figure it out, they can come back in time, fix everything, and then we're set. So yeah. Just as long as we get a couple interns on it.
We need interns.
Applications can be sent to irregularsearchfortruth@gmail.com.
But I guess that's my issue. Like, if I ever was to try to solve a problem, I would be so scared to try anything, because it would just show that, like, whatever. I know that you think that makes sense. I know that you're hungry, and so therefore it makes sense to drink this glass of milk right now. But no, that's not why you're hungry. Actually, milk is the worst thing you could drink right now.
Well, no, but I think what the book does well was. Or why you shouldn't feel that your whole world is turned upside down. It's just that you need to find the true cause of phenomena.
Well, no, for sure. But it's like this sort of decision paralysis where you have to, I mean, he's a very smart guy. Mm-hmm. Nobody figured this link out. You know, so, I mean, what are you to do? I mean, how could you possibly figure out this is why crime is going down? You look at all the things you have around you and you say, well, you know, this broken window theory, I think that was one of, like, Rudy Giuliani's, like, major things. You know, if you see a broken window or if there's graffiti up, immediately fix it, because that, it just invites more crime and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's not necessarily true, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, until you do it, how will you know?
Right, yeah.
You know, so it's like, it just makes it difficult, because all the things that they mentioned make a lot of sense. I think they did show that having more police on the street did help, but that was not the significant factor. It was
statistically
just
significant. Right. Yeah.
It's just like, it might have contributed to 5% of the decline or something like that, but the overwhelming lion's share of the thing was, you know, and it's like, and it was during the 90s, so like the economy being better, people were taking credit for that. You know, obviously Bill Clinton was in office and the internet was going crazy, mm-hmm. and the economy is on fire. Oh, it's all, you know, we're doing a good job. And they showed that, like, it was Mayor Dinkins before Rudy Giuliani who pushed him to get more cops in the street. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, who's going to take credit for it? How can we possibly know what we did right and wrong until 20 years pass, and then we run all the statistics, and then we find out what happened? Mm-hmm. It's just difficult. It's just... And maybe it's just I'm a control freak, and if I can't understand what I'm doing and why, then it like maybe it just it rocks my mind, and you know I need to put my head down because I just can't handle change or something, you know. But I don't know. These books kind of anger me for some reason because there's no like this is what you need to do and this is why you need to do it and this is how it works. It's just sort of like yeah, no, that's not why.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you for telling me that I'm wrong.
But it didn't provide you with a.
There's no a clear solution. Path forward. There's no clear like here's what I should do in the future.
Well, that's just coming full circle here. That's what the Occupy Wall Street is, isn't it? It's like here's what we don't like. Where's the solution?
Well, you know, and I think I have read a couple like quote demand pages on the web yeah. Anyway, right? And it's like ridiculous stuff. Yeah. It's just stuff that like yeah. That's not going to happen. You know, come on. Can we have some reasonable like requests here? Yeah. You know, I wish I could think of one right now, but it's something ridiculous. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of stuff right now, and none of it's like unreasonable. Like,
in fact, like, they were very reasonable requests.
No, it's just I'm trying to think of something outlandish that would never fly, you know, in Congress, and it's like, no, that's a reasonable request. Like, indict all the people on Wall Street. No, that's reasonable. You know, like, raise taxes. Well, that's reasonable too, but that's not. It was like something more crazy. I wish I could think of it right now. It's just you have to like suggest. Well, I guess when you're in a negotiation, you don't suggest what you actually want or what's reasonable. You suggest something outlandish so that you can move from the outside in, right? So you can meet in the middle. That could be the new department, the negotiation for next week.
Tune in next week. And by next week, I mean a month or more from now.
From an unspecified time from now.
Yes.
Not less than 1 week from now.
Yes. For another episode of the Irregular Search for Truth with multiple departments. Till then, I'm Scott.
I'm Sachin.
Take it easy.